This is a reading from the Old Testament scripture. Deuteronomy. Okay.
There you go.
Excuse me. When thou art in tribulation, and all things that are come unto thee, even in the later days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swore unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptation, by sign, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terror, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou hearest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of his sight with the mighty power of out of Egypt, to drive out the nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, Jack.
Amen.
Amen.
New Testament scripture reading, Romans 2, 29, and 3, 9, I think.
Correct.
Okay.
Try to keep pronouncing those, Roman.
Okay. Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in the saying, and mightest overcome then when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness committed the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? What, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then who shall God judge the world? For the truth of God hath more abundant through my lie unto his glory. Why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that God may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no way wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin.
Amen.
Greetings to all present and online in America and abroad. Today we continue our study in Romans as we examine God's intention for the people of Israel or the Jews. Just what was God up to when he separated Israel from the Gentiles? What was his plan? As we continue in this masterful letter by St. Paul in the second chapter, let us research this fascinating topic with our teacher as it pertains to understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Landis Fisher has titled this message, Israel Chosen for a Purpose.
Amen. We thank the Lord for just the reading of the word and the hearing of the word. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word itself has power, so even if we just read the word, we have done a beneficial thing for ourselves, because just to hear the word of God is a great thing and a powerful thing. So we're going to go ahead and continue today. As you know, those of you who have been sojourning with us, we have been working our way through the epistle of Romans, and so I kind of backed up and overlapped just a little bit over into chapter 2, the last verse, to kind of connect to chapter 3, just for continuity, to help you continue the train of thought that we were talking about last week. Now, I actually titled the last week's message somewhat tongue-in-cheek, a cut above the rest, because we were talking about the rite of circumcision, and I never even mentioned it because time went on and it was kind of trivial to use that as a title, talking about how we cut away the foreskin of the flesh. And a Christian should live, as we say jokingly, a cut above the rest. And we were saying we're not concerned with circumcision. So I thought I would begin with that today, because we know that the scriptures teach that the body of Christ and those who believe in Jesus Christ are circumcised with the circumcision of Jesus Christ. And God attributes and accounts that to the account of everyone who believes in the name of his Son. And so we wanted to put that to bed, basically, and that's what Paul is doing. He's closing up all the loopholes of anything that anybody might have to say that might be something that would make them or grant them righteousness in the sight of God. And circumcision was one of those type of things the Jews practiced, and they had a lot of faith in the physical circumcision that they had received. And so Paul went last week, as we just kind of recap a couple of things from the highlights of that message. And he showed them that uncircumcision or circumcision meant nothing if you were not perfectly righteous, that you had to have faith and trust in God. And so he was closing the door on that so that no one could say, you know, that we have been circumcised in the likeness of Abraham, which had been promised over there back in the book of Genesis chapter 17 that we looked at briefly on last week. So now the question would come immediately, since the covenant people, those who were chosen by God and had the rite of circumcision, were not necessarily justified by that rite or that circumcision itself, do they have any advantage at all? That's the next question that would come into your mind logically. I'm amazed how logical Paul is as he goes through this letter. He already pre-anticipates the next question that a person might ask. And that's what we see here in chapter number 3 as we look at the very first verse. He says, basically, he concluded, his conclusion was verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, not one who is externally circumcised, but one who internally loves God and obeys the truth of God, not because he's circumcised in his flesh on the outside, but he is circumcised in the heart toward God. And that's what Romans 2:29 is about. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and not of the spirit. He says, and of the heart in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. In other words, we're not looking to satisfy people with some external thing. You know what? I believe this too. Let me add this to our thinking. Nobody went around showing you their circumcision, I promise you. It was not done. So if they had to see it some other kind of way, because this God fixed it so that it was not something you went around and showed. No more than we can go around showing our baptism. See, if we've been baptized, nobody knows that I'm dry now. You see what I'm saying? So I can't say, oh, I was baptized and show it off. So no one was showing off their circumcision, you know, from the time of Abraham on up either, because it was a very private, personal thing. That's why God made it that way. So we have a relationship, and it's very private, very personal. It's not something you would flaunt or wear as a badge to go around and say that I am a Jew and I'm walking with the Lord. Nobody knew, you know, except most intimate people who you dealt with in your life, such as your spouse or something of that sort. And so in either case, it is a private, personal thing that you and I must have with God, and that's what Paul's point is. He is one who's a Jew inwardly from the heart, who walks and obeys the truth, and you can see it by the way he lives, not by the fact that he is physically circumcised, because you wouldn't know that anyway, is his point. And so as we look on, he says then, the next question logically then, well, what is the advantage? Is there an advantage to be a Jew or not? And so people are starting to wonder here who have read this letter up to this point. Verse number 1 of chapter 3, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Is there a benefit? Why did God give that? And why did he call a people and separate them anyway then? If you're saying none of that really means anything, and it's only having to do with how I act and respond to God, and how I am in my heart and walking before God, not how I try to please men or show off in front of men, well, then what was all that for? That's the question underneath verse number 1. He says, much in every way. There is a benefit, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. In other words, God spoke to the Jews. He separated them, called them out, told them they would be his blessed people, his covenant people. He caused them to exist. They didn't exist at all. Think about that. Abram was 75, had no kids. There were no such people as Jews on earth. Everyone was a Gentile. See, God sanctified Abram, called him out, and said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to make your people, a multitude of nations come forth from you, kings and all that. You know what? They're still going on. The seed of Abraham is multiplying. Nobody could number the number of people who have come from the seed of Abraham. Think about it. Abraham gave forth to birth to Ishmael and 13 tribes of Ishmael. He gave birth to Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. And then after Sarah died, he married Keturah and had 6 more sons over there. In the book of Genesis chapter 25, you read about other sons of Abraham that are also Middle Eastern people who became the Midianites, and they became the Arabs and all those other people who are over there. All of them are all connected back to Abraham in the flesh. See? So God kept his promise. You know what? There's a lot of trouble, a lot of turmoil, a lot of stuff going on right there now, and it will continue all the way till the trumpet sounds, till Jesus returns. I promise you that. That's why Israel is still there in the midst of all that, and all the people are turning against Israel one by one. Eventually, America will turn against Israel. Right now, we are the ally of Israel, such as it is. But there's coming a time when all the nations on the earth will turn on Israel. And so God is keeping them there for a purpose, and he has a deep-seated purpose in the nation of Israel. We're all going to, if we live to see it, which we don't know how long that'll be, it could happen any day. The earthquake this week kind of put it on my mind, like thinking, hey, is this might be coming up here. Here we are in the Middle East, in the Midwest here in America, and we're having earthquakes 5.2 on the Richter scale. And Jesus said this was one of the signs of the last times, that'll be an increase in earthquakes. So, I slept right through it. I want to let you know. People said, I woke up, turned the news on, talking about the earthquake, and everybody's all talking about the earthquake. I said, what earthquake? You know, it would have had to fall in on me before I would have really noticed it, I suppose, because I was 3 sheets to the wind by the time the earthquake happened at 4 or something in the morning. And it didn't knock something on my head, so it never woke me up, and I didn't even realize it happened until I turned the news on. And so, basically, it's a very interesting thing to see that, have something like that happen. And then they even said there was an aftershock later. And I said, well, I didn't feel that either, that you would not know. Now, you always hear people dabbling in the occult. The occult is the unknown world, the unknown realm, the realm of spirits and all that. And people want to dabble in that. And you know what? The biggest source of knowledge that we have of the unknown is God's word. Because God spoke and told us things that we would never know if it was not for his word. So these are the oracles of God, the inner secrets of God that he speaks. You have a whole book full of them to spend your mind on that will blow your brain right out of your head with the knowledge that's in here. And people want to dabble in other stuff that's not in there. It amazes me. You know, if you really want to get into the unseen, pick up the Bible. The Bible is the best source of the unseen that you can ever find. And it's the most accurate because it tells the truth and it never lies. So that's the thing that people should see. Who are, if you're interested in the unseen and the unknown and the spiritual, get in the Word. The Word will definitely bless you. And so this is what I want you to see here. Now, he says that there is an advantage because the Jews have received the very oracles of God. He says, for what if some did not believe? You know what? Well, some of the Jews didn't even believe at all. They were a part of the covenant people. They heard what God said, but they didn't grasp onto it and believe it and walk with it. You know, what about Jacob and Esau? Remember them? They came out of the same womb. Esau was not believing. He thought very little of what God was doing. Jacob thought a great deal of what God was doing. And so one believed, one did not. You see that? Even from the womb, although they came from the same mother, same father, they were both covenant people. Yeah, I would imagine Isaac had them circumcised, and then they were in the family in that sense as far as the flesh. But one believed, one did not. And we see that throughout the whole history of Israel. So Paul asked the question, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And the answer to that is, God forbid. No way. No possible way. We would say, no way, Jose. God's faith is still there. The promises he made are still there. They're there for everyone who trusts and believes in him. He says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. In other words, when God speaks, it is the truth. You can count on it. Doesn't make any difference who believes and who doesn't. So we don't go around worrying about that. But God is true, even though every man is a liar. And so we move on and here to verse number 5. Paul says, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? In other words, if God judges somebody because of their unrighteousness, is that an offense of God? And he says, I speak as a man, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? God is going to judge the world in righteousness, and he has made a way to do that, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? See, in other words, God's word continues to be true no matter what status we take with whether we believe God or not. And then he says in verse number 8, this was a common thing spoken against the apostles as they went forth with the gospel. Verse 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. People always accuse Paul of saying, by you saying that gospel, that people are saved strictly by faith and not by keeping the law, that you're just going to send people out into doing whatever they want. See, and that's the accusation that's always made when the gospel is made plain. The gospel is a free gift. It's something we don't earn nor deserve. It's something that we could not acquire by any means except by a free gift from God. So people who are law keepers, who are really into the law, like we have so many today in the church, they want to give you 49 rules to keep and all that. They don't understand salvation is by grace. It doesn't license anybody to sin. It should free you to do righteousness, is what it's supposed to do. It doesn't license us to sin. We don't say, okay, because God saves by grace, we go out and do anything we want. That's not the thing. That's what people accuse you of. But just the opposite is true. When you know that God loves you and he's forgiven you, he's willing to forgive you of anything you have done, why would you go out and do more wrong to add insult to injury? You see, it's just the opposite. When you really understand it correctly, you know that God loves you and he has made a way for you to live right. Even though he is willing to forgive you for all your transgressions, that doesn't mean that it licenses us to sin. And so we're going to go ahead and be seeing that as we go through this letter. But we have just a couple of things today that we want to take a look at in the purpose of Israel as we deal with the question that opened this particular set of verses here in chapter number 3. As we look at the verse 1, the question still lingers, does the Jew have an advantage over the Gentile? And so we're going to see. So Paul says, yes, in one sense, in the sense that they receive the word of God, that God separated them for a purpose. They have a reason and a purpose why they're in the world. And we're going to see ourselves. We can see right now Israel has continued all the way up until today. Think about all the nations you read about in the Bible and the Old Testament that don't even exist anymore. Where are the Hittites? You know, we could ask that question. Where are those all those seven nations that God displaced from before Israel? Where are they? Have you heard of any Hittites lately? The only place you can find them is in the museum somewhere. Their civilization is gone. You see, there are several civilizations that existed in the days of Israel when God separated them that don't exist today. But Israel is still there. See, been here for generations. The ancient nation of Israel is still there, and God has a purpose for Israel. And that's what we're looking at here today, and that's why we have chosen the title, Israel Chosen for a Purpose. God has selected Israel for a reason, and he was working with Israel even at this time for a reason. And Paul is going to break it into pretty much detail. We're going to look at it briefly today, and then we'll be a little bit further in our understanding of this epistle to the Romans. So now verse 9, Paul says, what then? Are they, speaking of the Jews, are we the Jews, he himself included in that, are we better than they, speaking of Gentiles? No, in no wise, he says, for we have before proved that Jews and Gentiles, he's proved to both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Everyone, whether they're a Jew or a Gentile, is guilty of sin. So in that sense, no, there's no advantage as far as that is concerned. In other words, Jews and Gentiles both need to be saved. So now the question that lingers in our mind is, why did God sanctify Israel? Why did he set them apart? Why did he cause them to exist? As we mentioned, Abram had no seed. God promised him a seed. Then last week we saw at the age of 99, he gave him that promised son. Actually, the age of 100, but he was 99 when God renewed the covenant with him and told him that in Isaac his seed would be called. Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old, and that was 25 years after God's initial calling of Abraham. Okay, and then after that, he lived for a number of years until the age of 75 more years, 175, let me say. Abraham lived and saw Isaac and Jacob be born before he took up his feet in his bed and breathed his last. And yet God had still not finished the promise that he had given, although Abram could see that he was going to do exactly what he promised. That's why it says that he went to his bed and gave up the ghost. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham looked all the way down to the end. He said, well, God's going to do what he wants to, but I can see he does it in his own time, and I don't have to worry about it. It was a promise that superseded the grave. Doesn't make any difference. If I die, he will still keep his promise all the way to the end. See? And so Abram knew that God is going to do exactly what he promised. And he has seen enough by God's faithfulness throughout his life from the age for 100 years, we could say, from the age of 75 to 175, that God will do what he wants, but he does it in his own time. I trust him and I believe him, and I can go ahead and depart. And so Abraham was a faithful man in that sense, that he believed from the time of his calling to the time that he left that God would use his seed and multiply them into countless millions of people. And that's what he did. And that was the promise that he made. Let's take a quick look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. I wish we had time. Deuteronomy is a wonderful book. If anybody has time to get into it, start reading in Deuteronomy. Read over at least to chapter 9 and you'll be blessed after today's lesson, because it'll open up a lot of things that you may have thought of about Israel. Now notice this, chapter 4, verse 30. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee. This is Moses speaking to the Jews in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the second law by interpretation. Deuteronomos. Deutero is like we get the word duet or two or the second. And nomos is the word law, the second law of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 30. When you are in trouble, Moses says, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. See, so God does a lot of things because he said he would. That's what me and you need to learn. I think we can learn a lot and grow a lot if you understand that God does what he does because he promised that he would. He keeps his word. He will not fail. Whatever he has promised, he will do it, and he is able to do it. He has no problem doing what he promised. Sometimes he does it in spite of us. There's things I do where he ought not do anything for me, but because he promised he would, he does. See, in spite of my unfaithfulness, that's why Paul says if our unrighteousness causes the glory of God to abound, basically there in Romans, he says, let God be true, though every man be a liar. In spite of what we do, God continues to keep on his promise. Program, and he blesses us in spite of ourselves many times, you see. So it's not so much that we do everything he says and therefore he rewards us. In spite of the fact that we don't do everything he says, he rewards us. That's the way it really is if we look at it carefully. Now here we see, for he says in verse 32, for as now, God will do this because he promised, he keeps his covenant that he swear unto their fathers. He says, for ask now of the days that are past. Look back in the past, he says, which were before thee since the day that God created man upon the earth. He goes all the way back to Adam and asks from one side of heaven unto the other whether there have been any such thing as this great thing or have been like it. Is there anything like what God has done in calling Israel, separating them out and bringing them out to be a people for his own possession in the whole history of the world? The answer was no. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire as thou hast heard and live? Some people God spoke to and they were destroyed just by his speaking. See that? But he spoke to the children of Israel out of the midst of the burning fire on the mountain and they live. Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord thy God did for you in the land of Egypt before your eyes? Look at the miracles that he worked among the children of Israel to bring them out of the most powerful nation on earth. It would be like if somebody came in here and took a segment of people out of here against the will of the American government and said, God came in and just took you right out of the midst. And you know, he can do that. He's going to do that. On the day of the rapture, those who trust in Jesus Christ are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and all of our radar and satellites and all of our technology won't be able to stop it. Not even prison walls. I like to tell that to the guys when I go to the prisons and preach, is that not even prisons, concrete and steel, will keep you. If the Lord wants you, you're coming out of here. When it's time for you to go, if you have faith and you have believed in him, concrete and steel won't keep you here on earth. There's nothing on earth that will stop the will of God when he's ready to take you up. Like the old song says, when the Lord gets ready for you, you got to move. Some of the old folks used to sing. You got to go. There's nothing here that can keep you here. You see that? There was nothing that could keep Israel in the land of Egypt. The Pharaoh surrounded them with thousands and thousands and armies and did everything to try to stop them, and then he decided to let them go because God hit him with so much different plagues and all that. He said, well, we got to get rid of them just to get them out of here. And then he changed his mind. Of course, God split the Red Sea, brought them through on dry land, and when they tried to pursue him, the children of Israel, God consumed them in the ocean, and they died there in the Red Sea. The enemies of Israel had been taken up, and not Israel. Israel was delivered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so Moses is going back and showing them, look what God did to keep his promise to bring you through up to this place. And so why would you doubt God at all? Verse 35, unto thee it was showed that thou mightst know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none beside him. Just by what he did, he showed off so much in your life, you ought to know, in fact, that he is God. And there's nobody else but him. Out of heaven he has made thee to hear his voice. In other words, he gave you the oracles of God, the word that they heard, and that he might instruct thee. That's the whole purpose of his word for me and you, is instruction. We are to learn from the Lord, he says. And upon the earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardst his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, this is why God does what he does. He's motivated by love. Therefore he chose their seed after them, and bought thee out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. God bought them out because he promised their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would. And not only did he bring them out, but also to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, and to bring thee in and give thee their land. See that? For an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon earth beneath, and there is none else. So Moses reaffirms with Israel that yes, God has spoken through you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. No one on earth is powerful enough to stop it. And the same thing that applies to them applies to all of you who are the covenant people who trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can stop the work of God in your life. Did you know that? I'm comforted by that, the fact that this is the powerful, mighty God who is doing this to bring us through. So since Paul has closed up every possible loophole up to this time that the people might have sought in order to be deemed righteous by any other standard in this letter, and has proven that no man, neither Jew nor Gentile, can be justified in the sight of God by their own works, he now begins to answer the obvious objection of just why then did God separate Israel to himself? What was God's intention in calling out these people? Now, we know what it is. God was planning to bring Jesus Christ, the Messiah, into the world. He was writing the prophecy of that and gave the prophecy of that to Israel through the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And so Paul is trying to bring the Jewish mind to conclude what their ultimate purpose was, which was to bring forth Messiah, the Savior of the world, of both Jew and Gentile, not just the Jews alone. So the Jews were the vehicle through which God chose to transmit his word to the human family and to set up his standard of righteousness, which was symbolized in the temple worship and the sacrificial system, which were foreshadows of Messiah, who also came through the fleshly lineage of the Jews. So God was bringing the Messiah. It would take 42 generations for him to come. In the meantime, he was saving people and showing them the gospel through the temple worship and the sacrifices that they made throughout the generations of Israel, from the days of the Garden of Eden clear on up until the time of Christ, when the veil of the temple was torn in two after the final sacrifice was made. So Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the purpose for which Israel was called, and he is to be preached in all the world as the final message of hope from the Most High and Almighty God to all men, as the only way to attain perfect righteousness or to meet the perfect standard that God requires for the salvation of any sinner. And so Paul is bringing them to see that Messiah is the ultimate purpose for which Israel was called. And so they were called and chosen for a purpose, and that was to bring forth the word of God, which will be fulfilled by the Son of God once and for all people everywhere. And so we go out and boldly proclaim, just as the initial church did, the early church. They went into all the world, made no difference what people believed. They simply put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has one way for you to be right. That's by his grace through faith in his Son. No one has ever deserved his righteousness, and no one can earn his righteousness. You can only receive it as a gift. And so we hope today that those who hear this message will receive the gift of God. And it is a gift. No one earns it or deserves it, but you can receive it by faith. All you have to do is believe the gospel, believe the good news, and God will give you the righteousness that he requires. And the gospel almost sounds too good to be true. When you hear it, you go, boy, why would God do that for me? You know, there's no reason. Because he loves you and because he made the promise. He promised and said that he would. So simply put, that's the thing you have to see, is that God does things to keep his promise. And I'm happy about that. So that's why I'm so excited about the word. When you see me up here, I'm in the word and checking out things, and hopefully you are too, because that's why God gave the word, so that you and I could be excited over it and that we could have the certainty that we need to know for sure that we are saved and that we have been washed and cleansed. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ, which was the central purpose of the Jews. I want to just read one little passage here, and we're done here, from the book of Deuteronomy. As I said, I was going through this book of Deuteronomy, and it is such a blessing that I think you should really get into it, and you'll learn a lot out of here. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Notice this. This is the Lord saying, Deuteronomy 9, I want to read a few verses from verse 4, and then we'll wrap it up. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee. He's still talking about the nations that he's going to put out of the land and give you their land. He says, so don't go in your heart after I do this, because God already knows how we are. We're schnooks. We tend to think that when something good happens to us, it always ultimately I did it. And, you know, don't go and take the glory for this, is what the Lord said, because after this thing has happened, I've already told you before what I'm going to do. So when it comes to pass, don't you go and try to act like you did it or you had something to do with it. So he says, speak not in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast him out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of those nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. It's not because you're so holy, it's because they're so wretched, I'm ready to do judgment on them, and I'm getting rid of them, and I'm just giving you the benefit because I told your fathers I would. I promised them that I would bless you with this land. See? And he was giving the people in the land time to get their act together. He gave them 400 and some years to repent, and they never did. They got worse and worse and worse and worse. And so it came a day when God's judgment was due. He brought judgment on those people and cast them out. And then he brought the people who he had promised into the land. It's not that they earned it or deserved it. And so he said, don't go thinking that you earned this or deserved this just because I put them out and gave you the land. So there's a lot of stuff like that that'll happen to me and you. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But God promised that those who trust in the name of his son, he's going to bring you through. You know what else? He's also stopped the decaying process in our lives. We're not getting worse and worse and worse and worse now. Since we're saved, we're getting better and better and better and better. Because we're sitting under the word and we're hearing the truth and we have conviction about who God is and what he did and the truthfulness of his word. So he's improving us every day. And other people who reject God are getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and they're going to end in destruction. You see, so, but it's not us who's doing it. It's God who's doing it. And it's God who gives you the blessing. And so always give him the praise. He says in verse 5, not for thy righteousness for the nor for thine uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess the land, but for the wickedness of those nations that the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. You all are hard-headed and hard to work with, so it's not for your righteousness that I'm doing this. I'm doing it because I promised that I would. See that? So hang your hat on the promise of God. If you read on, you'll find out later on he told them again, it's not because of your goodness or your righteousness that I'm doing this, but because I promised that I would. And I'm going to keep my word, and you can count on it. See? So always remember to give God the glory for everything he's doing in your life. I have to do it all the time because I'm kind of stiff-necked myself at times to do the right thing. And maybe you are too, so maybe you can relate to what I'm saying. But it's a good thing. I have to say he has put the brakes on a lot of stuff I would have done, and I can't do it anymore. There's no way I can go down those paths anymore. And God has closed a lot of doors that needed to be closed in my life. And at the same time, he's opening up other doors and opportunities to show me that I can go through by faith, and that I can trust him to keep his word and to bless me, because he promised me and he's righteous and he will do everything he said. And so hopefully that's where you are. If you're not saved, I hope you will trust Jesus Christ right now. Don't wait another minute. You don't have any time to wait, because we don't ever know when we'll breathe our last. You know, we could check out and not be here in the next so often. We don't know. So you don't have time to wait around, whether you're young or old. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Trust in him, and you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. Those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. God says if you trust in him, he will save you. That's his covenant and his deal. Let's have a brief word of prayer, and we'll take any questions that you might have. Blessed God, our Father, we have heard the word, how you chose Israel, used them to bring the word of God into the world, and to bring the Son of God into the world, that whoever trusts and believes in his name might be forgiven of all sin and shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Bless us, Father, with faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Wash us of our sins, cleanse us, sanctify us, and deliver us. Forgive us for every unrighteous thing that we have done. We know there is forgiveness in the cross, because you allowed your Son to be crucified for our many sins, and you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, that we might trust in him and know for sure that he is, for they hear it, that they might trust in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and be clean. Help many Israelites who are deceived today with the good works that they're doing, that they think that are so good, and many others in all sorts of religion that are practicing false things that cannot save. Help them all to abandon those things and trust in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the choice that you made in choosing Israel to be that special people through whom you would bring Messiah and your word into the world. We give you praise today in honor and glory. We ask this and all other blessings in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to take a pause. If you have any questions or comments at this time, you may submit those. Amen. Anybody got any special earthquakes?